Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you're listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. And you can listen each week. You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many more places. You know, here at CMDA, our mission is to educate, encourage, and equip Christian healthcare professionals to glorify our God. Our Board of Trustees spent several months in 2020, as well as in 2021, thinking about and praying over how Christians in healthcare are best able to give God glory as they practice medicine, whether as a physician or dentist, a PA or a nurse practitioner, a physiotherapist, optometrist, podiatrist. There's a long list of healthcare professionals that come under the CMDA tent. One primary way that we believe that you can bring glory to God is by advancing biblical principles of healthcare or that impact healthcare within the church and throughout our world. That's why today's podcast, featuring an interview with Dr. Brick Lance and Pastor Burt Jones, is so very important for you to hear. Dr. Brick and Pastor Burt recently joined me here in our Bristol studio and explained how hundreds of churches, as well as healthcare professionals, are working together to bridge the understanding gap on six crucial hot-button topics in our culture today. At the end of this interview, I hope that you will go to our website and download the curriculum as soon as you can. Let's listen in. Well, today on CMDA Matters, I have not one, but two guests in the studio today. And the occasion is our fall Board of Trustees meeting that's happening later today and tomorrow. And one of our trustees, Dr. Brick Lance, is here in town all the way from Oregon. Welcome, Dr. Lance.
Thank you, Mike.
And I'm also joined by Pastor Burt Jones, who is the Director of Leadership and Church Relations for CMDA.
Good to be with you.
Now, you might say that here in the studio, I'm bridging the gap between two leaders and two champions of a wonderful curriculum that about 3 years ago, Dr. Brick Lance, you got really frustrated when going to an evening meeting at a church in town, and that really got you so upset that you talked to our CEO Emeritus. Tell our listeners about that experience.
Well, Oregon, as many people know, is a strange place to live when it comes to morality and ethics. There's a lot of things that happen in Oregon. As most people know, it's the first place in the world ever to legalize physician-assisted suicide. In fact, my town, Eugene, was known at one point of having the highest rate of in vitro fertilization for gay couples. It's very privileged, even as an orthopedic surgeon. It may sound strange, but also to be the medical director of our pregnancy resource center, and we get attacks all the time. But what really threw me off was a mainline Protestant denominational church had a parent night, and I decided to go because of our pregnancy center has a curriculum in the schools. And so they had the state director of Planned Parenthood to discuss sexuality amongst the teenagers within the church.
And that should have been the first sign that things were not going to go well, right?
Yeah. So I wisely invited two Christian brothers to go with me because I knew I was not in for a good evening. But the state director of Planned Parenthood was telling all the parents, probably about 100 parents, about why it's wise and healthy and good for your teenagers to have sex. And then after this long talk, the youth pastor gets up and said, that's why provide condoms for your children. And there was not a single parent that raised a hand within that group. And then I'm also concerned about the students I work with at the University of Oregon. I'm concerned about my own children, of what is happening in this culture. And then I would go to Dr. Stevens and I said, why are the churches not teaching on these ethical issues? And I kind of said it grumbling and cranky and all that, but had long discussion with Dr. David Stevens about starting this curriculum.
And that somehow the baton was handed back to you from Dave Stevens. Okay, Brick, you've noticed a problem. How about you run with this?
That's what he said. Brick, I want you to start a commission. In fact, I'm going to call it the Church Commission and you're going to run it. I'll provide you some help, but I want you to do it.
Gulp.
Yes.
Gulp. I shared with you earlier today. I really think that God had ordained this, maybe before the foundation of time, for Brick Lance to be given this baton, because so many of you listening are in the exact same boat in terms of a life, profession, busy practice, and yet all around you seeing culture changing and the morality that we have, the Judeo-Christian safety net that some call it, that has been there, has just been thrown away. And you're frustrated, and yet you just didn't get frustrated and complain and mumble and write letters to Dave Stevens. You actually did something. So the Church Commission got started. How many of our members and other specialists joined you in this effort?
Yeah, I had over 40 healthcare professionals join in this curriculum. I'm talking to physicians out there. As you know, sometimes it was like herding cats, but it was a labor of joy. I really enjoyed it. Very wise Christian individuals that are in the midst of these topics that we're discussing in the curriculum. Extremely helpful. Had some real champions out there to oversee the curriculum.
So we've come a long way with our Board of Trustees in helping to shepherd that, assisting you. And we had at the House of Representatives last year, you led a whole training session on this, especially on beginning of life issues, because as you've just mentioned, your crisis pregnancy center that you've been a part of passionately. Then at the National Convention earlier this year, you and Jeff Barrows had a segment where you talked about it. And then after the National Convention, we made a transition, and Pastor Burt Jones joined us in May, is actually had leadership roles within a particular denomination. It just happens to be the one that I grew up in.
Right.
So, Burt, you're a chairman of the board of a particular denomination and just seemed like a natural fit to start working with the church. Tell us about what you've been doing since May in terms of this curriculum and promoting it in the church.
Yeah, so I was in the national meeting and kind of understood that now I was going to have the opportunity to have the privilege of kind of being the promoter of this great curriculum. So what I've been doing since May is studying the curriculum, kind of sending it out with special invitations to people to take a look at it, introducing it not just to physicians, but to theologians and some pastors, and saying, would you take a look at this? People in fields of addictions and things like that, just trying to contact as many people of influence as I could to say, will you help share this in your network of relationships? And we've gotten some tremendous feedback from people about the curriculum, very, very much on board with it.
So the two of you, it's the Burt and Brick show, if you will, have been just promoting this in so many different venues, including Brick. You went down to Texas, I believe, to a conference with the Colson Center and a conference someday I want to get to, the Wilberforce Weekend, and had an exhibit there for CMDA and this curriculum. And that opened a door, didn't it?
It did open the door. I was able to meet a lot of the leadership within the Colson Center, and they were excited about this curriculum too. Was interviewed on a podcast to
Upstream recently.
Upstream with Shane Morris. It was a privilege. I enjoyed it very much.
Did a great job. I've listened to that podcast a couple of times and just a number of stories. So for both of you, you're aware of different groups, and I heard you tell Shane Morris about some experiences that are already happening. How many downloads, Burt, have already happened?
Over 600 so far.
Well, let me just add in there. I just talked to Mandy this morning. It's now over 700.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay. It's in a hurry. Just in time for our board meeting. This is good. So over 700 downloads, and those are available to anybody free. So talk to us about some early experiences, either one of you, about the curriculum with pastors and small groups.
I'll just share one, then I'll let Burt answer. But I've had several churches in Oregon ask for the curriculum. In one church, it was just so fresh. They would not let me shut up. They didn't want me to leave. Their questions continued to come and come and come. And, you know, I had a limited time within their church group. But there are churches that are eager for this, extremely eager for it.
Burt?
Yeah, one of our staff members here at CMDA was asked to do a Bible study this summer. And he talked to his pastor, a smaller church, maybe 80 to 100 on Sunday morning. And they talked about doing the curriculum on Wednesday nights. They were thinking maybe, you know, 10 to 13, 15 people that might show up each week. Well, they averaged 50 people throughout the entire curriculum, and tremendous responses to the curriculum. But the thing that this staff member shared with me was the number of young people, students, high school students, mm-hmm. college students who came and attended faithfully, but then afterwards came and said, thank you so much for addressing this. We need to be talking about this. So a great experience.
Well, clearly the name was chosen of Bridging the Gap. Brick, you were involved in coming up with that name. What is this gap that we describe with the title? And then let's just take a deep dive and talk to us about the subjects in this curriculum.
Sure. Well, if you read the mission statement for CMDA at the very end, it says advancing biblical principles of healthcare within the church and throughout the world. So that is the gap we're bridging between healthcare and the church. So we can teach on these issues that are very important in our culture.
So how about the topics? It's an 8-week series, though I hear from some of the stories that it might expand, like the abortion topic is kind of tough to handle in 1 week. So tell us about the curriculum and how it works out.
Yeah, so there is an introduction, there's a conclusion, and 6 modules, which I'll mention. But Mike, if I could just emphasize, and I don't want people to mistake this, this is not about moralism. This is not to be self-righteous. This is a goal for the church to be salt and light. Mm-hmm. We need to be salt and light as we share truth in this world. We also need to equip the saints. And Burke could quote many scriptures about how we're to equip the saints. We also need to stop the trend where our church isn't being influenced by the culture. We at CMDA, we need to influence the culture, not vice versa. And then lastly, and I'll share this a little bit more as we discuss, it's a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel, all these modules. The gospel message is in every module. So as far as the modules, there's beginning of life, end of life, sexuality, gender, right of conscience, and addictions. So I can certainly share a little bit about the curriculum itself. In the introduction is supposed to be fun. I hope people enjoy it. You want to come up with a list of bioethical issues. It should be a very extensive list that within our culture, why they're divisive and why the church needs to discuss these, but also why healthcare professionals are in a unique position to teach this. And we are. As your listeners know, you will have patients share with you that they won't share with their pastor, may not even share with their spouse. That's the unique position we as healthcare professionals have in treating patients. And we can speak truth to these patients. And then a couple questions on the introduction. Are human beings intrinsically valuable, or does their worth depend on their ability to contribute to society? And that question should be in every module. And then the last fun question is, why did Jesus heal? There's a whole list of scriptures and answers for that. That's just kind of a fun discussion for that. The beginning of life is probably the biggest module, as you mentioned. Talks about science and scripture, how that applies to being in life. And I'm a big advocate. I think science and scripture go hand in hand. They're never in conflict. Mm-hmm. But a couple of the questions that I think we as healthcare professionals understand is, why do women choose an abortion? What are the consequences? And then even more importantly, is there forgiveness and restoration afterwards? Of course, there's a variety of other topics in the beginning of life, including in vitro fertilization, three-parent embryos, infertility, surrogacy, cloning, adoption, etc. Sexuality module, 2 questions at the beginning. What is intimacy? And why are we created for intimacy? Mm-hmm. That will lead to the gospel message. Mm-hmm. Gender identity. Why is the medical community in favor of affirming and transitioning transgendered individuals? And then which is a greater influence, science or culture, and why? And then why is it culturally chic or a social contagion? But my favorite question is, if feelings and experience of transgendered identified individuals are real, distressing, and severe, how should the physician demonstrate compassion, tolerance, and instruction?
Wow, that's great.
And can treatment be misguided by distress? In right of conscience, just to summarize that whole section, I think if you define conscience, and there's a lot of scripture there for us to help define conscience, and if we can answer the question, why do we have a conscience? And then thirdly, how does a conscience become seared? If you answer those 3 questions, the gospel message is going to be there.
Wow. And I got to believe pastors are going to jump in with that sort of information, because there's just also so much biblical truth that deal with our conscience, isn't there?
There is. End of life, we talk about the practical aspects of end of life, advanced directives, durable power of attorney, portable medical orders, artificial hydration feeding, DNR. But then we go into physician-assisted suicide, euthanasia, talk about brain death, persistent vegetative state, and organ donation. Very practical discussion for people within the church who sometimes never discuss this. And then addiction. What is addiction? How common is it? And not only substance abuse, but pornography, gaming, gambling, all types of addiction for that. The conclusion is my favorite module. Conclusion has some very rich questions. So In the conclusion is one question about government and politics, and that's carefully avoided through most of the modules. And there's a reason for that, Mike. We need to think of the government and politics as a means and not an end. So what I mean is, let's be involved. If you're called to testify or be on your city council, by all means, do it. But our hope is in the church. Mm-hmm. The church has the answer. Politics and government have an answer. Now, we should be an influence there, but you still use government as a means, not an end. And then also some questions that I love, what's the difference between rights and responsibility? Define freedom. Is freedom culturally dependent? How is telling the truth love? The next question, how is not telling the truth not love? And then my favorite question of the whole conclusion is, how does pride, selfishness, and a desire for control play a part in these bioethical issues? And then lastly, it ends up, how can we personally avoid being deceived by today's worldview? How do we personally avoid being disheartened by today's worldview? So that's kind of some taste of the whole curriculum.
Yeah. Thank you, Brick. And that's a really, that's the first time I've heard a comprehensive, although executive summary of good questions that come from the curriculum. So, Bert, a couple of things. I think you've done a little bit of homework with some outside experts on the addiction module in particular. And what was the feedback that you got?
Well, it was very interesting because I knew that we have a lot of experts that were involved in the writing of the curriculum. But I thought when we took it out to people who that's their area, they would have all kinds of tweaks and adjustments they'd want to make to it. And so I set up follow-up conversations and meetings with them, had my pen and notepad ready to go. And they were like, this is fantastic. We want to promote this. We think everyone needs to see this. In fact, one of the guys I sent it to has a very successful recovery ministry in Lexington, Kentucky, wrote me back and he said, I'm getting this to every pastor and other organizations and getting them using the Bridging the Gap curriculum. So it's going over very well.
In general, pastors, what is their perspective, their attitude about this whole topic of bioethics, do you think?
Well, I think they're in the dark because I don't think most seminaries are addressing these kind of bioethic issues. I sat in a coffee shop the other day with a bunch of seminary students, and it was all I could do not to just go over and just start class with these guys because they were talking about a bunch of bioethic issues from their own perspective, not from a biblical perspective. You could tell these students had been influenced by culture rather than by scripture. And that's a major radical difference. Pastors have generally been taught how to unpack the scripture, salvation, the gospel, and things like that, but they've not really been equipped on some of these bioethic issues. And I think it's a great opportunity for CMDA to kind of step in and say, here we are. We've got some good news for you.
I completely agree. So I've had the opportunity just after creating this curriculum to talk to quite a few pastors in my own state. And yeah, sometimes they're scared. Sometimes they just don't know how to teach on these issues. And sometimes they don't think it's important. And on that last part, I will tell you, again, working with medical students and undergraduate students, they are learning answers to these questions that are in the curriculum from our culture. They're not learning it from the church. And that's very unfortunate because the answers that the cultures is giving them are not very accurate and they're not very true and they're certainly not scientific. So I want to encourage churches to teach on these issues, particularly for our young people, so they know how to answer it biblically and scientifically.
And what's happening, Brick, is I was asked to go to the Rotary Club just a few weeks ago by a pastor here in our community. And so I took one of the Bridging the Gap cards. He had invited me to go with him. I gave him the card. He contacts me about 3 days later and said, I've decided this is going to be my Wednesday night series this fall. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened was because now there's this tool available as a resource by experts on these subjects, theologians and the medical community, they're feeling, okay, now I'm equipped to jump in and carry on a conversation. They feel a little bit more confident to have these conversations.
Well, Bert, you challenged all of us at CMDA to connect you with our local pastors, that you wanted to meet them and just talk to them about the curriculum. And so got busy, and it was only just 2 weeks ago that I sat down with my own pastor, and I hadn't even spent 45 seconds talking about this. He said, you got to do this. you got to do this at our church. And you can do it on a Sunday evening, and I bet you 50 people are going to come. Even though we don't have formal evening service in our sanctuary, you said you're going to have a bunch of people. You mentioned earlier about our mission statement, and truly, when I came to CMDA 5 years ago, it was before you got this launched, we were talking with Dave Stevens and Gene Rudd, you know, what is it? How are we actually doing this within the church? We did not have a particular tool or resource like Bridging the Gap. And I'm just thinking, think about the book of Acts. Paul, the pastor, Dr. Luke, the CMDA member, working together, and Luke providing science and healthcare. I just can't believe that there are going to be that many pastors out there when one of their tried and true faithful members, our listeners, CMDA members, come to them and approach them. It'll be the response exactly like I got. And hey, listeners, your pastors are thinking ahead. So probably what I got is 8 weeks in January, February. That's the earliest you're going to get, but at least moving ahead. And there's been experience now with the curriculum. Some of the kinks maybe of it have been worked through in the pilots earlier this year, wouldn't you say, Brick?
Yeah, and there's still a few more kinks to work out. But yes, having piloted and now having over 700 churches using the curriculum, we're getting some good feedback. But they're enjoying it immensely. And Mike, if I could just mention why it's in a Q&A format, so question-answer format. There is lots and lots of material to teach on these subjects. You can get podcasts, you can get lecture series, you can get books. But we as Christians, I'm speaking to myself when I say this, by the way, we need to listen. I need to listen. People may have ideas, but I need to understand what they're thinking, what's influenced their thoughts. So there needs to be an open discussion without judgment, without criticism. And then after the discussion, after the question has been answered within the group, okay, let's see what CMDA answers, because CMDA has the medical professionals to discuss this, you know, scientifically, but also the scripture. Let's see what scripture. So that's the whole idea of a Q&A format. Now, it's interesting, and Bert can comment on this, but a lot of the scripture is questions. If you read Paul's letters and certainly read Jesus' discussion with people, he asks a lot. They both ask a lot of questions.
I think Jesus asked about 168 questions in scripture.
Yeah. Here's my two favorite. I just have to throw that, because this influenced me in developing the curriculum. I love Romans 6:1. When Paul asked, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? What a rhetorical question. Of course not, but it's a rhetorical question. My favorite, when I read it every time in Luke 24, I actually laugh at this question. So Jesus is on the road to Emmaus, and the two are discussing with him all the things that have happened, and Jesus responds, what things? So here's Jesus Christ, the center of all of history, the creator of the universe.
Tell me, brothers.
And yeah, tell me what things just happened. So again, a little bit rhetorical. I laugh as I read that. But yeah, it's in a Q&A format so we can have discussion.
Mike, it's interesting. I have the privilege at the CMDA to oversee the Center for Wellbeing. Mm-hmm. And as you know, they've learned that coaching is about asking questions. And you get great discoveries when you're asking the right kind of questions. And I think it's just so cool that this curriculum is based on that same kind of insight. You know, when you walk in and you give the lecture, they may not take that as well. But having a question format, you get to dialogue with people, and the dialogue leads to great discoveries. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, because there's a dialogue going on some of these issues, it opens up new doors that just the lecture would not have opened.
And I would be careful. If you do this in the church, that's one thing. If you take this to a secular organization, which I would encourage you even to do that, because it's, again, the gospel message is there, but don't do it by yourself. Take another believer with you, because otherwise, I mean, you can be attacked to some degree.
Well, I'm guessing that many of our listeners possibly are not aware of a background resource that is phenomenal, available to all on our website, which is our position statements, which are well thought out from an ethics committee, a group of experts. And so as people, our listeners, physicians, dentists, other healthcare professionals are introducing this concept to their pastors and elders, they could also point them to our position statements on our website so that they can see how well biblically referenced all of these topics have associated position statements on our website, correct?
Yes, and there's links to it. So in the Q&A format, there's the PowerPoint presentation of just the questions, and then the facilitator or the moderator will have all the material with links to most of those statements.
And the only cost for the download is an email address, correct?
That is correct.
And you're not kidding about evangelism. I think I've heard you tell a story about someone coming to Christ during one of the sessions.
So again, I have the privilege of, with Bill Reichert's leadership, but I have an undergraduate CMDA group at the University of Oregon, and we had students come in. I do a session once a year just on bioethics for a few hours in the evening. And a student attended, and again, I have a, because these can be secular people, some people not raised in the church, I have a panel of healthcare professionals that are believers to help facilitate the discussion, but I let them answer the questions. I'm not scared of them answering questions however they want to answer them. But hopefully we give biblical and solid scientific answers to the questions. And I had one student there who was not raised in the church, and this was all new to him. He asked one of the doctors, who is this Jesus Christ? And he led him to the Lord, a prayer-accepting Christ, in a bioethics curriculum.
Wow, praise God, praise God. Well, anything else on either one of your hearts that you'd like to share?
I wanted to just kind of highlight one thing. We talk about the adaptability of this curriculum. Sometimes we think this is a one-size-fits-all, has to be this kind of format. We've seen Sunday school groups that are using this curriculum. You can adapt it a little bit. If it's too long, instead of 8 weeks, you can maybe go 16 or 15 weeks or whatever. Small groups using it. This morning, I got a request from a seminary student asking me about physician-assisted suicide. And because our curriculum, the Bridging the Gap curriculum, deals with it, I sent them a link to the Bridging the Gap and basically said, here, read through this, share this with your seminary professor and all the other students in the class. And so there's a lot of unique ways that this curriculum
can be
used.
He got more than he bargained for when he asked that question.
Right.
So hopefully we'll have four modules in the future. So Bert and I are discussing this. The four that we're considering are transhumanism, mental health, poverty and allocation of resources, and racism and diversity. So listeners, if you're interested, please contact me. I'll tell you my email. It's bricklantz, so my name, BRICKLANTZ, @comcast.net. Love to hear from you. But if you want to be a part of any of those four modules that I stated, please contact me. Now, we need to remember to bathe this in prayer and in Scripture. So Mike and Bert know I love Scripture, but let me just read a couple verses. This is from Colossians. Let your conversation be always full with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So that's what this curriculum is about.
And Mike, if anyone has questions about the curriculum, they can contact my office at 423-844-1030. That's my direct line. Or email me at PBJ, Pastor Bert Jones, PBJ@CMDA.org. And I'd love to answer anyone's questions.
Well, I can't think of a single reason why our listeners, anybody listening and their families, lay leaders, elders in their church and pastors would not want to at least download the curriculum and take a look and investigate this. Like I said, it's only a submitting your email address to be able to get the download and to be able to share and think about this. Thanks for joining us today for CMDA Matters. God bless you. And we'll be praying together this weekend that God will guide our trustees through this fall board meeting.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Well, I've been watching this process over the last 3 or 4 years that Dr. David Stevens launched and encouraged Dr. Lantz to pursue. And I'm so glad for all the effort that Brick and his group of dedicated and expert Christian healthcare professionals have put into this new curriculum. We are called to be salty, as Brick read to us from Scripture, salty advocates for God's Word. And we are called to speak truth into ethical issues and courageously stand up for what's morally right according to truths outlined in Scripture. But in order to engage others in these discussions with both grace and kindness, we first need to arm ourselves with knowledge and understanding on each of these topics. That's why we created Bridging the Gap. We hope that this small group study encourages you and others in the church to ask these difficult, thought-provoking questions about the ethical issues that face Christians in our culture today. We recognize that some of these topics are surrounded by controversy, but I believe that we are called sometimes as Christians to ask hard questions.
In the end, we pray it will stimulate minds and stir hearts toward God as we educate and encourage those who are seeking the truth in our churches and communities today. I sincerely pray that you'll take this opportunity to share this curriculum not only with your church leaders, but also with any small group that you've been meeting with and studying together in your church. Plus, it's available for free and it's at no cost to you. So download the study by visiting cmda.org/bridgingthegap, one word. Well, it also just so happens, the timing of this interview, that we have an upcoming webinar that will give you even more information about bioethical issues facing Christians in healthcare today. And you can check that out. It's called CMDA Bioethics Perspectives Virtual Conference, and it's being held on Saturday, October 30th, sponsored by the CMDA Western Regional Team. You can earn up to 8 hours of continuing education, and you'll hear speakers like Dr. John Patrick, Dennis Sullivan, Bill Griffin, Sharon Quick, Angela Caffrey, and others. They'll focus on how to integrate healthcare with Christian thought and ethics. You can find out more by visiting cmda.org/events. Well, we're only a couple of weeks away from the upcoming Global Missions Health Conference being held November 11th through the 13th in Louisville, Kentucky. You may have put it off, but there's still time to register. I would love to see you in person at this conference, so be sure to pass by on the main exhibit floor, our mini CMDA booths in the exhibit hall. You can learn more about the various service opportunities that we offer through CMDA's many mission team outreaches. Whether you are a first-time attendee or a repeat visitor of 20 or 25 times, you're highly welcome. So just visit medicalmissions.com now for more information and to register today. Well, I believe this will be my final announcement, pointing you to CMDA's Emerging Leaders in Dentistry Regional Conference coming October 29th and 30th, being held in Augusta, Georgia. The Emerging Leaders Conference is designed specifically to empower Christian dental students across our country with education, encouragement, and equipping, in order that dental students and others, dentists in practice, can glorify God in their dental careers. Just click our link in the show notes today or visit cmda.org/events to learn more and to register. Well, as I close today's program, I want to remind you of the verse that Dr. Lance just shared with us from Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, where Paul says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Well, that's my prayer for you today, that you'll be able to bridge the gap in the church, wherever you attend, and in your community as well, for these important conversations and be equipped with the right words to integrate the gospel of Christ with biblically based bioethical principles with anyone and everyone who asks you. Because winsomely and respectfully sharing Christ as his ambassador in the world will always matter to CMDA and CMDA Matters. As always, I want to thank you for listening today. If you like CMDA Matters, give us a 5-star rating and share us on your favorite social media platform. If you'd like to suggest a future topic or a special guest for a future podcast, you can just email me at cmdamatters, one word, at cmda.org. Next week, I'm looking forward to talking with two CMDA members who in the past recognized a gap in caring for patients with opioid addiction while they were in residency and fellowship. And so they pursued advanced training in addiction medicine. Dr. Warren Yamashita and Dr. Kurt Bravada join me for an in-depth look at the rapidly growing specialty of addiction medicine and why they asked our Board of Trustees recently to launch our 14th specialty section focused on addiction medicine. You heard today from Dr. Lance and Pastor Burt that addictions are one of those topics in the new Bridging the Gap curriculum. I hope you'll come back next week. Until then, stand in the gap. Bridge that gap until Jesus comes back to get us and take us home.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.